Blog Talk Radio.
And I just don't give a damn. This is what I am, what I am. Understand, I don't give a damn. Damn. This is who I am, who I am. Man, I don't give a damn. Damn. This is what I am, what I am. And I just don't give a damn. Take me as I am, as I am. And my G still pumping. Sold on the culture, you know that my doja culture. Game over, soldier, I'm cooling.
You are listening live.
We'll do it live! Yes.
That is, unless you're not listening live. This is the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast Cast. It is Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. I'm your host, I'm Travis Bryant. Joining me, as soon as I click that button, will be Cameron Hawkins, co-host extraordinaire, the Twitch titan, the handsomest man in podcasting today and probably forever. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and give out all the pertinent contact information. This here is an interactive show, so please reach out to us in one or all of the following ways. If you want to have your voice heard on this show, there are two ways to go about it. First way, give us a call. Hit us up on the Constellation Lines, and Cam and I will talk to you live on air tonight. Hit us up at 347-202-0103. Once again, call us and talk to us live on air at 347-202-0103. If you can't call us live and you still want your voice heard, there is another way to go about that. Hit us up on the voicemail. The voicemail gives you 3 unadulterated minutes to air your grievances, ask your questions, pose your comments, spout your conspiracy theories. The voicemail line gives you access to all those things. Hit the voicemail at 415-787-5229. Again, that's 415-787-5229 for the voicemail. You can always shoot us an email. The mailbag is always open and constantly being refreshed, so hit us up anytime during the week, anytime during the show. Find us at eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. Again, eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. Let us know in the subject of your email which segment, VIP or non-VIP, that you want your email read in. Find us on Twitter as well. You can find the show at eastcoastcast, twitter.com/eastcoastcast. You can find my personal Twitter at TravLord. And you can find Cam at Seahawk, that's C-E-E Hawk. And also you can find Cam and follow along live during the East Coast Cast on Twitch at twitch.tv/Seahawk. Join the conversation there and the Twitch thing. And the last bastion of Get Adage, find us on Facebook. The Facebook fan page can be found at facebook.com/PWTorchEastCoastCast, or just search East Coast Cast or PW Torch. You'll see us among the family of Torch pages. So please give us a like, share us on your timeline, tag your wrestling pals in it, spread the word that way. Y'all know how it works. I would hope and imagine. All right. Without further ado, Cameron Hawkins. I thought, okay, we ain't been here in 3 weeks. I guess nothing really big has happened. I guess we haven't had a chance to Cam and me to talk about Shane leaving, and we'll rehash that for the 37th time in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And Cody and Brandy decide to drop us a big old main event headline story for us to talk about, and I assume that's. You have opinions about that, and we'll hear those. But, Cam, what's happening?
So it's like the Shane shit don't even matter no more, right?
First of all, it was weeks ago, and just how things work. I'll rehash it. I didn't talk about it. I don't give a fuck. Fuck that shit. But, no, that shit's over and done with now.
Blew it off the map, man. So, you get news yesterday that Cody and Brandy parted ways with AEW. Both had lengthy statements about, enjoying their time there, enjoying what they built, looking for the next chapter. And, the the job that we do, the people we're associated with, that all kind of, it was a day yesterday, man. Like, my phone typically doesn't blow up over news, but my phone was going crazy. Like, it's really interesting. Like, AEW, you know, was kind of built off of, you know, if you believe the legend, you know, a bet at a bar between Meltzer and Cody and the Bucks, right? You know, they put on the All In show first?
All In. Yes, All In was the first big
giant sellout success. You know, there's this idea that there are particularly American fans who love professional wrestling who don't necessarily love WWE. And this was them getting, you know, getting their flowers, getting their art, getting the thing that they desire. Putting on this great big show. And then baseball was putting it in there. They announced AEW New Year's 2019. And, you know, through, you know, Tony Khan's money, Cody's savvy, the Bucks and Kenny Omega's spirit, you know, they produced AEW, a strong, thriving wrestling organization, considered, at least like critically, you know, the best promotion going in America. And Cody was an integral part of that. Was a face of the company, gave them credibility, turned that into, you know, reality show for himself, TV appearances, you know, all kinds of stuff, right?
A game show.
Yeah, game show. Cody's premise was basically, you know, I was underutilized, I was underappreciated, here's what I'm worth, and people absolutely latched onto it. And here we are, you know, 3 years later, almost, you know, 3 years, if they announced AEW New Year's in 2019, 3 years, a month, and 2 weeks later. One of the founding fathers, executive vice presidents, has
the EVP.
Kind of unceremoniously, like if we're using the words how they should be, kind of unceremoniously left the company. You know, we knew that he was working without a contract. We were aware of that part, but I don't think people really thought he was going to leave. You know, it was just a formality. And when you think about his role within the company, well, his perceived role within the company more than anything, it seems like, you know, he would just not be the last to leave, but, you know, critically, he has a stake in it. So here we are, Cody Rhodes, free agent. There's speculation every which way, which I'm sure we'll get into. That is where we stand as of right now. Cody Rhodes is no longer part of AEW, either as talent or as front office.
And it is more than wildly it's not assumed. It's like, oh, yeah, we've seen or heard from the horse's mouth that a WWE deal in return is done. It's just a matter of when and where. That's the other part of it. It's not just, oh, Cody's out of AEW. It's, oh, he's going to show up at a, I don't know if he's going to show up before WrestleMania or anything. That's not usually what WWE does and have surprises in March and April headed into, or February and March headed into WrestleMania. And also, he's not The Rock or Goldberg or anybody to be dropping, you know, WrestleMania stuff. But, you know, he'll be showing up probably in the spring and summer on WWE programming in some form or fashion. And potentially his wife, too, as an act, or maybe she goes back to ring announcing. Who knows? But that seems like a thing that's signed, sealed, and delivered the way it's being reported in certain places, if not most places.
Could you imagine her going back to ring announcing?
Yes, as a fan of TV, and yeah, like I don't have to see her doing like her bullshit act. Absolutely, but
I can't see somebody going from such a large role in the company to that.
She probably just goes,
and
yeah, I just
that.
Won't do anything. Like, I'm not going to go back to...
For sure, for sure. Is he,
changing my
does
name. She wasn't
guy?
Brandi Rhodes. She was some other bullshit. WWE, you know, made up nonsense.
Yeah.
Whatever her name was.
Brittany. And Eden Styles.
That's right. Good.
Yeah. Eden Styles. So, yeah, we are, one thing about doing business with different companies is, like, you couldn't dream of somebody being in contract negotiations with another company while employed by WWE. You just, it doesn't even cross your mind, right? But here's Cody, you know. And, again, the situation is so unique because he has a different amount of leeway. In that, you know, I'm one of the people who helped start this. Of course, I'm going to be there for you. Of course, there's trust. Of course, there's support. And, you know, here we are. Again, Cody Rhodes left WWE. When Cody Rhodes left WWE, like, not right when he left, but a few months earlier, you know, when he was, like, Cody Rhodes, fresh off the face mask, getting into the World Heavyweight title picture. You know, I was a huge Cody fan. I thought Cody was going to be that man. And then after he left and creates this list of wrestlers he wants to face and ROH champ.
I mean, you
can't.
You're skipping Stardust or whatever his
name is. But yes. But that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm thinking about this guy that we're looking at here, right? But when you figure in the Stardust thing, that actually does tie in exactly what I'm saying, and that Cody left because he felt like he was underappreciated. You know, especially on the way out the door. So, yeah, exactly, for including that, you're right. You know, turns himself into uber serious, world-traveled, prototypical world champion wrestler. And it works. And it works to the point where he's able to start his own. Well, that's what I'm saying. To the point where he builds up enough credibility to be the face of a top American wrestling promotion. Yeah, oh, NWA champion, you're correct. But yeah, so, you know, it all goes his way. And I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know if Cody Rhodes' ultimate goal is to run a wrestling promotion. I think Cody Rhodes' ultimate goal is to be a big wrestling star.
Well, that's his goal. That's a lovely goal to have, but
I wanna,
you know, start in one of the four major American, you know, sporting leagues at 41
yeah.
years old.
Well, and here's what I'm saying.
Dream to
I
have,
don't think that it's
happen.
Wild because this is what I think.
Oh, he's closer to his goal than I am to mine. I do want to
yeah,
make
yeah.
it.
Yeah, this is what I mean though. if
make it clear, I understand that.
If you believe. Rumors, Cody Rhodes is signing a deal right now to make more money than he's ever made in his life. So, like...
Which is all the answer you need to win those, you know, in the threads on various Twitter threads. Like, why would he leave? Like, he knows Vince is going
exactly.
to, like... It's like, fam, like, what do you mean? First off, that's just... a show he's putting on, and if
yeah.
he's making double or triple money.
This would actually drag him through the mud, though. Like, I really don't think so. Like it might
that,
not be great.
That would
way.
Mean Vince would have to care, like more than more. He would
yeah.
have to care enough to, like, Steve was like, oh, well, Cody's either going to put on the polka dots in New York City, or I forget the second half of the joke.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I don't think he's not Dusty fucking Rhodes.
Yeah, it's
not
Cody not
broke. To debase and to
yeah.
like try to like make a point, like, oh, this was the champion for you. This was y'all champion. Look what I'm gonna do to him. Like, it's just Cody Rhodes. I got things I'm thinking about as Vince McMahon. Like, I can't set aside time to. Ridicule Cody on TV or do petty shit. I don't think, yeah, more than Vince being a good guy, I would just think he ain't got time for that shit. He probably liked it,
and here,
I'm doing other things. I'm being petty with other people.
Here's the thing that everybody knows, but everybody forgets when things like this come up. The EVP roles aren't real roles anymore. They're not.
The who? Say it again.
And like the executive vice president roles. They're not.
They're not.
They're not what they were when this thing started. They're not what they were 2 years ago. They're not what they were a year ago. They're barely what they were 6 months ago. It's not.
Wow.
Tony Khan runs the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it probably a nice pay bump? Is it probably a nice like bonus on your check each month? Sure, probably, right? Does it look nice on a resume? Maybe, not really in wrestling. But, like, it's not like Cody is losing influence by joining a different wrestling company. That wasn't there anymore.
Right.
You know, that's not what their roles are at this point. And so, and again, if his ultimate goal is to be as big a star as he is in wrestling, Cody Rhodes for the last 6 months has gotten the flattest reaction of any wrestler I can think of who's positioned to be a big deal. I don't mean go away heat. I don't mean boo you and make you cheer. I mean literally not caring about what you do. Now, fantastic exclamation point to a run with that Sammy Guevara match. Fantastic exclamation point. Exactly the way your last match should go if you care about the quality of a match.
Yeah. Yeah, and my whole thing of, oh, well, the story is Cody going being champion and going forward, so of course he would win, and it would have been a real black eye if Cody was champion and he leaves and they had to do some kind of...
And without the door.
Yeah. So at least that made sense, you know, weeks later.
So... The second half of this, I don't know who you've talked to, if you've talked to anybody in the last day or so, but I can absolutely say without, like, any doubt in my mind, and this is off of me talking to people, research I've done, and talking to people I trust, there's absolutely... mixed feelings about the Rhodeses in the AEW locker room.
Okay.
Like that is the case. Okay. So there are absolutely people who love them. And there are absolutely people who are indifferent. There are absolutely people they rub the wrong way. And that's in any job for anybody. So this is not like...
Did you say the Rhodeses? So we're including...
We're including Brady.
Brady. Right. Of course. Not... More her than Dustin at this point.
From Dustin, yeah. So there's also like, hey, you know, we help build this environment. And this is me thinking aloud, not me saying this is how they feel. But we help build this. There are people who absolutely appreciate it and people who absolutely don't. Okay? So when we have less say in this, maybe it's best for us to make the best financial decision for us, you know, as opposed to being... I don't want to say mascot because mascot makes you sound like an animal. That's not what I'm saying. But figureheads with less influence. Maybe it's better for us to, you know, to go and do this other thing where we're going to get a – like, again, ultimately, Cody Rhodes drove the product of the brick up. That's what he did. He made himself a more valuable commodity, right?
Okay.
And so why not cash in on that before you can't?
Yeah.
Because this is how I think it went.
If it's just pure, like, a check, well, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody told me this, so I'm not getting this from anybody, but with what I've heard and what I think and how I think these things go, I feel like Cody was like, yo, this is the dollar amount I think I should get. And Tony was like, yo, we can't pay you that. And Cody was like, well... And I'm not saying this is what he said, but, like, imagine you come into a situation, you have a certain amount of influence and power, screen time, you're in the press conference and all that. That's all taken away from you, right? So you no longer have that power. It's like, okay, cool, well, I'm still trying to get paid. Like, Cody Rhodes, whether he chose to do it or was asked to do it, he bit a lot of bullets. He took a lot of heat. for the way things were supposed to go. He did, right? And so if I'm taking that for you, like if I'm taking them shots for you, I expect to be compensated on the back end. I expect to be taken care of. Now, could Cody have been out there saying stuff out of his ass? Sure. But I feel like, you know, Cody was told things were going to be a way, and that's how he spoke on things. Like, I don't figure him – he doesn't rub me as a liar. And I'm not talking in terms of work versus shoot. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking in terms of kayfabe. I mean, when Cody gets out there as EVP Cody Rhodes and is talking to the press about the way things should go and how things should be, I find that person to be genuine, right? And so I think early on he said a lot of stuff that maybe he should have, maybe he shouldn't have. But, again, if I'm out here carrying the water for you, big dog, I expect to be taken care of, you know? And I felt like, you know, Tony Khan felt like what we're forgetting is that – oh, gosh. Okay. So hear me out, guys. A lot of AEW contracts are 2 years guaranteed and then the third year being at the option of the company. And if the company does not pick up the third year option within 60 days after the 2 year expires, mm-hmm. then that person is open to do what they choose. Okay? And this is like a conversation I've had about their specific contract. Might not be everybody, but what I'm saying is we're literally at that point. Oh, go ahead, Trav.
No. You go. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're literally at that point where a lot of people's contracts who signed kind of in that first year, those contracts are coming up. And so it literally is time to decide who's going to get paid and who ain't, especially when in the last 6 months they just signed a bunch of guys who ain't cheap. So, like, there's a lot of things happening at once. There's a lot of wheels turning within their company right now. And Cody being the first ball to drop is super interesting because I bet he felt – I feel like Cody felt like he was going to get taken care of, but he was also like, yo, there's money over here too. So I don't feel like there was a knockdown, drag-out argument. Okay, see, baseball, I'm not talking out of my ass. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just talking pure numbers, and Tony goes, I can't meet that, and Vince can not only meet it, but beat it by a significant amount where the travel and all those things become worth it again, then, you know, I have to imagine Vince gave that man a bag. And you go, okay, well, that's how these things work. And you leave it at that. You go, okay, well, we'll just now at this point, it's just a matter of when does Cody show up on WWE TV. And he didn't, there's no, he did TNA, or he did, fuck. He did AEW dirty on the way out or anything. The story isn't there. The entire story is he's leaving.
Yeah.
He left in a very gracious way and yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like, and it just seems on the surface, it's a financial decision. And who is anybody to go, wow, and whine or cry about any kind of decision that man made to secure his future and the future of his line?
Two questions. The first one will be quick. The second one will be a bit longer. First question, does Cody Rhodes win a world title with WWE in the next 3 years?
No. That is a very simple question.
Does Cody Rhodes win the Intercontinental title and have a good run in the next year and a half?
Sure, and bring back the goddamn and do the whole thing over where he brings the original or the classic belt back.
Yeah.
Or the for classic real. Design. So, sure.
Okay. So those are the same questions.
For a year or so. I don't care.
And here's the longer question. What happens to the Nightmare Factory?
Who cares?
Nightmare Factory's family. And I mean, like, very sincerely, like I think that one, you got to do is best for you. So I'm not knocking Cody. I want to stress that part. But my question is, like, Lee Johnson, you know, like Anthony Ogogo, you know, what happens to the guys who were literally, you know, under his wing? Like, Dustin's still there, so the whole thing ain't dead. You know what I mean? But I do wonder what it means for his pupils. Because, you know, he ain't there no more. I don't think any relationships are severed or anything like that. It's like he don't work there now. So when these re-signs come up, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with them.
Yeah, QT Marshall better be sweating his ass off. Like,
nah, he better be folding them fucking shirts. What he better be doing. He better be back there on that damn press, putting up all the shirts.
Like, I got this. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Mr. Tony. Don't worry about it, Mr. Tony. I take care of this.
Man, you better be knocking that shit out the park.
I take care of this. We gonna keep our bottom line. Yeah, keep our profit margins. You know, nice.
We rolling.
Yeah, you don't got to pay nobody.
Rolling.
I got it. Okay, so TV stuff. What's happening this week on TV? I thought it was a decent week. I was going to send you a text like, oh shit, I need to tell Cam to remind me not to forget to talk about Bron Breakker being fucking over like Rover. But goddamn, Bron Breakker's over and I can't like
all the way.
You know, point fingers like, oh, this guy is, you know, the crowd's buying into it and they created some stuff around him that really galvanized the audience in the storytelling way. So I didn't see NXT, or I saw mostly highlights and clips and patched it together that way, but I saw a decent enough to let me know. Yeah, people.
That's one of the best.
People are not me. They like Bron Breakker.
The first hour was, like, good. It was solid. But, like, the back end of that show was crazy. Like, you got Cameron Grimes and Mello in a banger. You got the finals of the Dusty Classic with MSK and the Creed Brothers. The Creed Brothers winning clean. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. You got Bron Breakker and Santos Escobar killing it. Like, that was the back end of that show was crazy.
With main event, Dolph Ziggler showing up, and, you know, main What's roster
that?
Folks. Dolph Ziggler, I'm just saying.
Main Dolph Ziggler showing up, Ciampa being on Raw. The thing with Breakker, like, they keep adding things to him. Like, he gets the big graphic at the end of the night. Like, he kicked the NXT Black and Gold sign open last month when he won the title. This time, they burned the Vengeance sign for him. You know, his gear for the pay-per-view tends to come up a little bit. Like, he had the tiger stripes last night. He had the, like, literally the Rick and Scott pleather with the simple design on it last time. And I tell you what, Trav, he came off the ropes on a clothesline. It was the fastest thing I've ever seen. Like, I was like, oh, he just finished playing college football. It was like that, like, exploded off the ropes with a clothesline. It was crazy. But, yeah, man, he's over. They got a NXT champion that audience loves. They got Carmelo Hayes has a broken heart on his knee pad now because he's Shawn Michaels' big project right now. Like, yeah, that was a good show. Very fun. I was saying last night, I think that Doudrop and Persia Parada, like, really have a chance of filling that Nia Jax powerhouse when everybody else is either, you know, decent size or petite, but, like, they can really go. Like, yeah, 2.0, I enjoy 2.0. Like, some people just hate it, and I'm like, I don't understand what you hate about this. Like,
you've been consistently, like, this ain't bad, this is worth watching, ever since they've, you know, switched over from black and gold to the colorful. And this was one of their – again, I did not see the show in a traditional way where you sit and watch 2 hours, but I did see 25 minutes worth of clips and most of the Mello and Grimes match and the Toxic Attraction match and, you know, and most of the interviews that they and promos that they had. So that's how I watched it. And it was, and that's kind of how I watch NXT, 25, 30 minutes at a time in highlight form. And this was one of the better ones of that.
Yeah.
It's not fair to try to boil a 2 hour broadcast into, you know, a highlight reel and 25 minutes of stuff, but that's how I watch it now. And it was one of the better 25 minutes to sit there and watch various clips and matches and stuff.
No,
so
you need to grow up, number one. But no, seriously, MSK Creed Brothers. That's one you gotta see.
I didn't see the whole thing, but the important stuff and the entrance and the towel and the reaction after the match.
Stokely is nuts. Stokely
really
is insane. He never gives up. No, maybe you should. Amazing. He's I talked to him a little bit and I was like, you're just showing your ass. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. He was Millie rocking in front of the trophy last week. And it was the most unsteady Millie rock you've ever seen. It was hilarious. Like, he's having a ball.
Yeah, if you're not going to go with the Grizzle Young Vets, that's who I thought should have won it last year for sure. And this year it's like, oh, well, maybe they'll give him that, and they didn't. But
yeah,
the winners were, like, I'm good with the Creeds winning.
You get in them and Imperium is going to be – and then you got, I think next week, Solo Sikoa and Walter. Like,
oh yeah, him just him going out there and telling them, all three of them, getting in their face, and Walter did the thing of, I'm not going to let my goons, you know, beat you down.
Mm-hmm. Solo
going out there and having the guts to get up on the apron and getting all of their faces like that was pretty cool.
I think, and I'll tell you what, we can keep talking about TV when we get into this pay-per-view stuff. But really quick, tonight, Lee Moriarty, Brian Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
That's as good as it gets. That's as good as it gets in ring. Like, if they didn't leave the ring, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I don't know what's going to come of this Moxley-Danielson stable that's ever even going to be a thing, but boy, they said the right kids' names. Yeah.
What's happening now?
So a couple weeks ago, Moxley wins a match. We're so far removed from news, we didn't even talk about Brian Kendrick getting fired.
Oh, right, for
I was told.
You know, because that's how it works.
I was told literally an hour before the show in the locker room, Tony went up to him, talked to him, patted him on the back, and he dipped. Like, everybody can't say everything. Almost nobody can say what he said. Like, nah, man.
Yeah, well.
You played yourself. And it's funny because, you know, people want to be like, well, you know, maybe it was out of context and, you know.
Well, no,
just he said,
it was in context.
It was like, just because he said lizard people doesn't mean that he means. And somebody tweeted, I wonder if that's why Paul London don't fuck with him no more. And Paul London liked the tweet. So I'm like, oh, well, there you go. Like, your man that you was with every day decided you were a crazy person and he don't fuck with you. That's all I need to hear. Like, yeah. So. But no, yeah. So the reason I referenced that is because Willard Utah had to take Kendrick's place in that match.
Willard Utah?
Wheeler Utah.
Well, yeah.
Not Johnny Utah. But so he beats
Utah
in the match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then Danielson comes out and is like, yo, of course people want to see us fight, but what if we got together? What if me and you, with what I know, with what I do, with what you do, what if we started a group? We started a group of top young talents like Lee Moriarty, like Daniel Garcia. And I was just like, okay, all right, we're doing it. We're doing it.
So
we're doing
Brian
it.
Is
we're
saying
doing...
that to Mox, to Moxley?
Yeah, and Moxley doesn't give him an answer, but now he's trying to build the brand.
Hmm.
Hi, sweetheart. I'm doing the show. I'll call you back. Nice shirt. Bye. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah. So, in step one tonight, Danielson, Moriarty. Oh, it's going to be crazy. Very excited for that match.
So, yeah. This is one of those matches where Brian's out to prove this guy is worth something.
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it.
You know, in a storyline TV way, and obviously, we want to get you over, Lee, so bring your shit.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do everything I can kind of way. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's Danielson is, of course, supposed to win, but, yeah, I guess you're supposed to see the best of Moriarty. And that's just, you know, not something you see a whole lot. Specifically in American wrestling when it ain't for the title. You know, because Ciampa and Breaker are kind of doing that, but not in the context of, they very much did that, where Ciampa outsmarted Braun because he had more experience, and then Braun kind of learned how to do it right the next time around, and now there's a respect between them. But, yeah, this is a little bit different. So, yeah, I think that's going to be dope. But, yeah, in terms of the rest of TV, we can kind of talk about it as we go along. Look at the next thing, Trav.
I'm looking for them. Stone Cold.
Stone Cold with the WrestleMania background. Apparently, they're throwing some money at you, man. To maybe have a match in Dallas 19 years later. Right now, people are talking about him and KO. What do you think about that, sir? Travis, do I still got you? Picked a fascinating time to drop off. Hello, Trav. Make sure the call's still on. Yes, we're still on the phone. Well, okay. So before he gets to it, I think it's very much what you're saying. Yo, call me Rob. Star power. I'm not saying WWE is at any type of all-time low in star power, but you're in Texas. You don't really, and I mean, this has happened before, you don't really have anybody from Texas on the card, like, because who do you usually have? The Undertaker. Right? I can't hear you, and I didn't change any settings. Can anybody else hear Trav? I can't hear Trav.
You going to make me do the, hey, Kylan, can you hear me thing? Hey, Kylan.
You finally, there you go. Now you got it. There you go. I don't know. I mean, you did with me.
All right.
But we're talking about Stone Cold having a WrestleMania match. Right now, the most likely person would be Kevin Owens.
Oh, I'm screaming, no, yeah. Don't do it. I don't want to hear it, or I don't want to see it. Yeah, that was me the whole time.
A couple weeks ago, they were like, you know, KO, you might not even have a WrestleMania match, which is weird to tell somebody in January. Like, that was awkward. It was awkward. Like,
yeah,
it was
you typically just let right things speak for themselves, like, you know. How do things feel?
Yeah.
How are your interactions on TV? Does it feel like you'll be on WrestleMania in 8 weeks? No, no, then no.
Yeah.
If I'm Owens, I want Austin to come back in the worst way ever. But
okay.
As a fan, I don't want to see it. No, please, no,
I mean,
Steve.
He was on my short list of guys I thought were done when they were done and we'd never see him wrestle again. And I think, I don't even know who else is on the list. Like, his retirement was a retirement to me, you know? But, like, again, in Texas, Cowboy Stadium, Jerry World, the most Texan wrestler ever wrestling in Texas, you know? It makes sense, but there's no, like, again, Kevin Owens uses the stunner. Kevin Owens ran down Texas this week. Kevin Owens is huge fan of all things wrestling.
What did, like, he say about Texas? I didn't see that.
I didn't even catch it because I watched the Hulu version like a smart person. But, you know, he's ripping the state. He hates everything about the state. You know, it was a week after he said he loved Texas. So, you know, that, it makes sense that that could be the trajectory they're going for. I don't know. I would say this. I'm not at all excited for it. You know, like, the thing about Steve Austin was at his hottest when he was hurt and couldn't wrestle and was coming out there kicking people and putting hijinks on him and talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say Steve Austin wasn't a fantastic wrestler, but I mean, I get what I need from Steve Austin when he's doing the segments and the skits. So 19 years after his last match, I'm not like, I need one more Stone Cold. I don't have that feeling or that inclination or that relationship with his work to where I need to see him in an official match. And I love Stone Cold.
Austin was great. I don't need to see the 2022 version of what I remember, because it's not going to become. It's just not going to be fucking good. That's very presumptuous. It's not going to be Austin of, you know, 03, let alone Austin of 98 or 96 or 96. It's just.
Austin wrestling in a shirt?
I mean, if you look at his arms, look perfectly. They're smaller, obviously, but they look, you know, fine. I can't imagine that his midsection is.
I mean, like,
he's almost 60 years old, and I don't know if he's almost 60. He might be 53 and resent that, but.
You look at Sting, you know, the latter half of his career, he was wrestling in a long single. You know what I mean? Which does cosmetically, you know, make you look younger. You know,
Austin can't all of a sudden start wearing a long singlet.
Come out in the Stardust outfit. But no, and I want to say this, like, to anybody in the chat that's listening to this, I'm gonna pop when Stone Cold comes out. I'm gonna be hyped. Like,
sure.
He's still my man.
Yeah,
but it's just like, I don't know. But they're also saying they're offering somebody at the Stone Cold level the opportunity to come back. And I'm like, who the fuck is at the Stone Cold level? Like, it's Rock and Cena. That's the whole Stone Cold level.
Yeah, because you can't turn around and just try to bring Ric Flair back and try to that wouldn't work. That would be a ripoff.
If Goldberg can come back and shit the bed every few months, Stone Cold can come back. Yeah, but I like Stone Cold.
Right. Like, exactly.
Like, Stone Cold was, like, all due respect to Goldberg. Goldberg
granted,
was never really good in the ring.
Yeah,
he was a big, strong guy.
Granted,
with explosion.
Austin was an actual wrestler, like, and perfected his craft and all that kind of thing. Matter of fact, he couldn't have been as good as he was while hurt if he didn't know the things to do. Didn't know how to be in the business and how to be a performer on a stage. That's just, yeah.
Nah, baseball, they ain't filming no Peacemaker season 2 in no damn April. You're drunk. But again, Cena is one of those people who stays in really good shape because he has to for his job. So Cena coming in for a day or two, you know, I'm not saying he would do it, but scheduling isn't going to stop John Cena from taking a Saturday to or yeah, Saturday or a Sunday to come kick it with his homies and then go back. He's a little different than Rock. But even with that, though, if you take Cena out of the equation, I don't know who else, and it's, you know, it's just a rumor, who would be at the Stone Cold level? Like who operates that space? There is no Stone Cold level. It's Stone Cold, it's Rock, it's Cena. Like, none of those WCW guys,
I mean,
who I love.
You can say Hogan.
You can, yeah, I was thinking that too. But I don't think there's like, there's certainly no match for Hogan to have. Like, there's an appearance for him to make. There's no match for him to have.
Oh,
but,
right, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
None of those WCW guys are, again, I love Booker T, I love DDP, whoever else is at the main event, Sid, you know, all those guys are tight. Nash, yeah. All those guys were dope, but none of those were Stone Cold. Like, they weren't. Yeah. He was a singular talent. The Rock was his peer, and really nobody else. Nobody who's, like, didn't retire 5 years before they did, you know, like, Angle can't move anymore. I just don't know who would meet them. Like, this is going to show up. It's going to be Okada or some shit, right? You're like, oh, my bad. My American sensibilities. But yeah, I don't know who would fit that. If you are a WWE fan and a WWE fan to the bone, I suppose Undertaker could fit that. Undertaker also a Texan, you know, a few years removed from his last action, but, you know, he could be charging that battery up. I could see him, but, you know, that's about as far as I could see it.
That I could see that, and I would rather that. And I mean that by I don't want to see The Undertaker, but if I had to pick between It's like, okay, I'd rather see The Undertaker, not because I'd rather see The Undertaker, but because I'd rather save Austin the potential, not embarrassment, but just not living up to, you know, Stone Cold heights and what we know, you know, all those kinds of things.
And I say that, like, I love Kevin Owens. I think Kevin Owens is one of the best all-around wrestlers I've ever seen. If they were to do it, Kevin Owens is going to eat whatever Stone Cold gives him and happily take that pin with a big grin.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it wouldn't even be...
all the guys for him to work with, Kevin Owens might be the best. I don't think anyone's ever had a... As far as a fan or hearing something from backstage, a bad thing about Kevin Owens or unsafe or... You know, it's like, well, he's a solid base that Austin wouldn't have to worry about not being able to hold him up, and he would trust if he had to body slam him or do various things and shit.
What did you catch Keith Lee's debut?
I did. Well, in post, not live, but yes. After the fact, go back and watch.
Did all the Keith Lee stuff look, you know, moves look great. Crowd loved him. I am optimistic that he will be treated like the star that he is. I have heard that it's not just WWE who felt like Keith Lee had attitude issues. So, in an ecosystem where no one like him has really been in the main event picture, I'm curious what it looks like 3 or 4 months from now. And what it looks like, I mean, is if he operates with the same enthusiasm that he did last week. And this is the thing that I think. I think that he's one, a fantastic talent. I think that if they don't try to tweak him and they let him be him, I think he's going to be great. Let's just hope that they stay on that path.
Yeah, I have no reason to believe that they would want to tweak him or that they would recognize he knows how to get himself over and the things that it takes. Or as far as like in ring and character wise, why screw with that? Why do the thing that everybody looked at WWE like, what the fuck are y'all doing? So it's just a matter of how do they position him and present him and who do they face him up with and the storylines around it. They still have to come through on that stuff.
Okay. So before we get to anybody, we got to do the thing. There is a pay-per-view on Saturday.
It is. And it's wild because we had our last show was the Royal Rumble, go-home kind of show. And now here we are, Elimination Chamber. And the show is in Saudi?
Mm-hmm.
So, I won't be...
We will be.
I can't. I did not get a text like, "Hey, you coming over? I got some wings and guacamole."
Oh yeah, that don't happen in this house.
Yeah,
that don't happen in this house, Jack.
I probably won't be. I won't be watching that fucking show.
I'm saying,
for the second Saudi show in a row, look like
matter.
And the fact that it's not a crown jewel and it's a name brand pay per view.
It's regular continuity.
Makes it even more.
I don't know if they're doing Roadblock this year or that or whatever, but essentially the go home show before WrestleMania, right?
It seems like it has to be because you can't come back two weeks, 3 weeks.
It's pretty tight. We can run through it real quick. Miz, Rey Mysterio.
Fluff. Something that they have to do to pad out the card. So, and hopefully it'll be the thing to lead directly to Rey Dominic. But every week I get less and less confident in that. Like if the trigger hasn't been pulled yet, I don't know if that's going to happen. At least not for WrestleMania. Maybe they're looking at SummerSlam. If they're looking at it.
Yeah, I got Ray because the game comes out in 2 weeks. So,
Oh, winning, I'll go with you there.
Let's see. Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss.
Man, if some fucking Madcap Moss ass motherfucker win that match. Wait, I don't even... Drew was hurt, actually.
I don't think so. I don't think so. You been out there messing with them boys, him and Corbin. I got Drew, right? Yeah, whatever. Usos, Viking Raiders, got Usos retaining. Should be really fun for people who get to watch it. I wish I had, super insight into this. So here's one that's kind of Naomi Ronda Rousey against Charlotte and Sonya Deville.
Yeah, this is, this storyline has come to, by any kind of forward thinking or planning, but they've turned this into something that they can blow off and make it worthwhile. SmackDown, with the way they did it on SmackDown Friday, I enjoyed. Vince inserts himself into, Sonya thinks Sonya's getting too big for britches. Time for somebody in upper management, as Adam Pearce called it, to slap her down a little bit.
Stop touching that girl. Happy Black History Month, y'all.
And Naomi makes the obvious observation of, he didn't say nothing about me putting my hands on you. And, she's able to slap Sonya around. But at the end of the match, though, Charlotte retains against Naomi.
Mm-hmm. And a really good match, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. In a it's one of those matches that makes you realize, like, if they had taken this match, if this feud seriously, and it hadn't been just TV fluff for 6 fucking months or however long it's been, this is something that they could have taken to WrestleMania if they wanted to. But after the match, Sonya gloats and Naomi retaliates, but then Charlotte interferes and gets the heat back on the heels. And then Sonya starts putting the boots to Naomi. And I'm like, wait, didn't we just get the thing where Vince said, you know, you can't put your hands on her. And that's the whole reason Charlotte's there, so she can be the physical. So I was confused at the end, like, wait, so she's going to get punished for putting the boots to Naomi after being told not to put your hands? She didn't say, get told, hey, don't interfere. Not don't put the boots to her during the match. It was, you can't abuse your power and put your hands on her, period. And then, yeah, so, but we'll see where this goes. If it, wait, the match is, it's
a regular
tag
match,
right? Yeah. Naomi and Ronda versus Sonya and Charlotte. So I assume, I can't assume anything. I'd like to assume
the
baby faces. The biggest check who's ever seen?
I know it's the biggest check Lita's ever seen.
Oh, her versus Becky.
They said Lita and Becky on the billboard in Saudi Arabia is progress. And I was like, Becky's from Ireland and Lita's from Carolina.
Are you saying that because it wasn't a Saudi woman on there?
Literally.
With her eyes and nose and lips and everything and hair showing?
That's literally what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. But Cam, actually is, though, progress. Like,
yeah,
what you're saying is very true to go, that's some bullshit-ass progress, but it is.
Words mean things like yeah. Every time I get out of bed, it's progress. Like.
Like in a technical sense, yeah. I mean, you progress
through
your day.
Yes, but again, okay, so like. I was asking, like, what evidence do we have that these shows are producing actual, like, tangible good for the people of this country? And somebody sent me, like, a video of, like, a kid in the audience being really excited to see Sasha and what it meant. So I'm like, you know what? That's dope. Like, I'm all for that. Like, a child's joy should always be great, right? But, like, is this thing changing what the people in charge of you allow you to do? That's what I'm saying.
Or
like,
is it bread and fucking circus? Something that's like, okay, let's give them this entertainment, this form of entertainment that we've pretty much banned, forbidden for the, you know, forever.
Like,
and
if you call
that what it is,
I'm like, oh, okay, that's dope. Like, all right, you get to see stuff that they didn't let you see before. That's actually cool. I'm with that. But like, this idea that it's morphing how things are done and who they're done for. I'm just like, I got to show me that. So somebody showed me like the Saudi 2030 plan. And I'm like, okay, read through it. I'm like, all right, we'll see.
First off, that's 3-year-old propaganda. That's like fucking MSD.
But we
got to
give them 8 years though, Trav. We got to give them 8 years though, Trav. Just say you want your wrestling. And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, but if you can't just say that.
Well,
like,
just
like,
say, I don't care. Like, that don't matter.
I don't give a fuck,
yeah.
Becky retains.
That's
they're probably going to smoke it because Becky has absolutely evolved into, like, a super ring general. Should be good. Becky retains. I love that Becky was like.
I don't know about
she's
smoking
like,
it, but.
They're going to smoke it. In for lack of
all, it doesn't wrestle, right? She hasn't been like an ass.
But I'm saying like two decades. I think Becky's gonna make that thing happen. I really do. I'm
worried
this.
About Stone Cold making a fool of himself. Have we seen Lita outside of like you know Royal Rumble or something where she can do you know spot or two? And she's going to get through a whole 5-10 minute match.
She's going to do it.
All right.
Yeah.
In full sleeves and shit because you know they're not going you know.
Well, yeah, Foot Locker tall tee. Lita can wear a regular jeans though.
Foot Locker tall tee.
Now, we're going to be. This is the most tall tees ever on one wrestling show that wasn't Def Jam Fight for New York. This is going to be crazy.
Are there two women's matches on the card?
There are three women's matches.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
looking at the Elimination Chamber, the Women's Chamber, did you watch the Gauntlet match on Raw?
Yes.
I think that I tweeted this. I don't like the idea of a babyface being the last one out to beat a babyface who beat everybody else in a gauntlet match. However, at the end of it with Bianca being like, yo, that's a tough break, man. It's love. You did your thing. And Rhea being like, yeah, you know what I did. Good match. If you're going to do this, that's exactly how you finish it. Like, I was like, okay. Not the biggest fan of this happening, but okay. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they didn't try to overdo it and outsmart people or outsmart themselves. It's just like, well, this is how a couple of admirable fighting competitors would be towards each other. Like, yeah, no, I was in a better position, and man, you and Doudrop, woo, you know, and just give it up for each other. And I'll see you Saturday or whatever it is.
Yeah. Alexa's finally out of therapy, so she's in the match. As a sixth competitor, which is good. Like, you know, no reason to really keep it a surprise. Let people know who's going to be there. I got Bianca winning. I don't think it comes down to her and Rhea, though. Like, I don't think they run that back. Probably Bianca and Alexa, I'd say, would be the last two. But I got Bianca winning because I do think it's Bianca. And, because she beat Doudrop. She beat everybody damn near on the poster, right? So I think Alexa being fully rehabbed. I think Alexa because Bianca I think comes out sixth because she won the gauntlet. But yeah, I think I don't know if anybody gets eliminated before the last person really, but yeah, her and Alexa, Bianca wins to challenge Becky at WrestleMania. Let it play out. Actually, plays out. Did I lose you again, Travis?
No. I actually got another Cody report. Not another, but somebody posted a Wade Keller of the Pro Wrestling Torch said, and then, you know, so I kind of started half-ass reading that and listening to you at the same time.
Gotcha. So who do you got? Who do you got winning?
Oh, Bianca all the way. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
See how you make this match and the fact that you because my whole disappointment after the Rumble was because I assumed Ronda was going to go after Becky and that was just fucking Bianca out of what was a naturally like wait y'all wait till y'all actually halfway y'all stumbled into y'all get to go oh yeah no we looked at this last year Becky coming in and getting the spot and beating her in 27 seconds. And we was like, yeah, we're going to go till next year with this. So y'all halfway, y'all stumbled into that. And then y'all let Ronda fuck it up. But when they had Ronda go over and go after Charlotte, they're like, oh, okay. You got me excited again. Cause the natural thing is Bianca to be in that match. So yeah. So after all that, you're not going to have Bianca not win the match in February or whatever to get to the match in April.
Bobby or Brock?
I'd like to say Bobby, but there's no fucking way Brock loses two in a row. And so I got to say Brock wins and he's champion headed going into one of those main title matches at WrestleMania.
Well, but again, Brock said if he wins,
and Brock and Goldberg made his, he was like, you know, I'm gonna beat Roman, and then I'm gonna go to WrestleMania and beat Brock's ass. So he's already giving it away that he thinks Brock's gonna win. Yeah, kayfabe at least. If not,
still
like,
gotta
flat
play
out
off Brock and Goldberg, though, right? Bobby and Goldberg. We still got to pay out Bobby and Goldberg.
Do we? I don't think we have to do anything involving Goldberg.
That's how I felt. And then, you know, 3 weeks ago happened. I think I got Bobby retaining. I think they gang up on Brock. I think they do Brock like they did Cena that 1 year where he caught a 619, Edge hit him with a spear. Like, they all went crazy on him.
Wait. Is this an elimination chamber?
Yep.
Oh, okay. So it's not.
Well, it's not Bobby and Brock straight up. It's an elimination chamber.
All right.
They
hit
a dominant forearm, ATL, stomp. Yeah. I got Bobby retaining. I wouldn't put money on it, though. Like, I just think unification, it sounds nice. I don't think it's going to do what they want it to do.
I don't think it even sounds nice. I don't think anybody would be excited. No. I think you'd have to introduce the crowd to a certain level of expectation for at least half a decade before you went and tried to. And probably an entire decade, but they don't have the patience for stuff like that.
How many minutes does Brock and Roman go? I'm sorry, Goldberg and Roman go.
Two? I think he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to Goldberg. And jackhammer that motherfucker 1, 2, 3.
Well...
And Goldberg going to go the fuck away. They just need Goldberg to do those Saudi shows for whatever reason. So they're not counting on
somebody
Goldberg.
Somebody really love wrestling in 99 or 98. They love it.
So they're not counting. You know, MSB's like, what, 37? So he's your age. So, you know, whatever. What was you, 12, 13 when Goldberg did shit? That's imprinting, you know, how impressionable you are at that age.
Mm-hmm. but like, this is, can I tell you why that's stupid though? Like, okay, so I went home for the weekend, and my play sister, I called her Friday night to go to come hang out with me and the homies at the bar, and she was like, "Oh, I'm at the airport picking up Bobby Brown." I was like, "Oh, okay." And so then had date night at a hotel downtown the next night. Lo and behold, she's in the hotel lobby waiting on Bobby Brown to come downstairs and take him to the concert. And then after we ate dinner, all Bobby Brown's backup singers and band were in the hotel with us kicking it. I say all that to say this. I don't want to see a Bobby Brown concert. Like, it was cool to be in the vicinity. I'm not like, oh, you know, I was dope when I was 11? Bobby fucking Brown. I'd love to see you doing like that.
Wait. Bobby Brown was dope when I was 8. So.
Well, I also liked him jumping out the helicopter in a New Edition song. But still, I don't like nothing from when I was 12. Like, this shit is cool, but it's not that cool. I don't want like a power with the original Rangers. Give a fuck. Nah, I might watch that. But, yeah, no. I really want it. Because you know Goldberg is washed. Like, that's the thing. Them boys ain't blind over there. They know exactly what they get and why they want it. I'll never know.
King Lester said, "I do." Nice little interview.
Go to YouTube. He's right there.
He said what he needed to say it in the way he needed to say it. Like, you know, you going to Goldberg me? Ain't it's only one me. And, you know.
Yep, I know. Well,
all right.
Let's.
And what else shit. What else is on that?
That's it.
Card. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That is the show.
Yeah. Yeah,
it should be cool.
It's another Saturday, like another Saturday show, back to back Saturday pay per views.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I know it's a Saudi thing, so you know it's probably gonna be like Saturday at 3 p.m. or some shit. But
well, it's Saturday 11 a.m. our time.
Oh fuck! Goddamn. Okay.
Yeah, they showing that bitch Sunday morning over there, whatever. Saturday night. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Who do we have? Who's hung in there all this time to talk to us? Kylan doesn't have his hand up, but I can't imagine he's hanging on the line for 45 minutes not to get a word in. Kylan, what's going on, man?
What up? Not much, Travis. How are you and Cam doing this week?
Doing okay. Hey, could you hear me that whole time earlier, if you remember, like 15 minutes ago or whatever it was?
Absolutely, I could.
Oh. See, I actually wish you didn't, so it didn't. I wasn't on the line like, no, I can hear you. Why don't you hear me, Cam? Shit. All right. So, what you got for us?
So, if you haven't done so yet, please go out of your way to listen to this week's edition of The Deep Dive.
Of that old show? Okay.
Me and Rich had our good friend Mark Blutman, the senior writer of Boy and Girl Meets World, on as our guest, and we discussed our hopes and wishes for wrestling in 2022.
All right, cool. Yeah, go listen to that, everybody. I'll take a peek at it. What you got for us this week?
Okay. Oh, my question for this week is in regards to Roman Reigns. If indeed Goldberg does not take the Universal title off of Roman Reigns on Saturday, who do you think will, and when will that happen?
Nobody, and no time soon. I mean, that's really that's kind of the position I've held for the last year, until somebody makes it very obvious that they are the person to take that title off of Roman Reigns. You leave the fucking title on Roman Reigns. Even if we're talking back in 2023, ain't nobody showed up. Well, if you know, Roman's still doing his thing, then you don't mess with it. So yeah, I'm a big no one, no time soon.
Braun Breaker's my front runner. Like, seriously.
Wow.
But I know that's way off.
I mean, that's at least, I don't know how way, if that's the case, I mean, the way he's over and the way WWE, you know, jumps the gun on certain things, I could see, you know, next year's WrestleMania, them trying to position Braun Breaker to be the guy. But I don't know. I think he'd run up against, I think he'd, yeah. It's nice to have some momentum in NXT, but you go. Who you want to run up against the what Roman Reigns has cultivated for the last 2 years? I wouldn't. It's like being a stand-up and having to go after somebody that's just fucking murdered the crowd, and it's like, oh shit, I gotta follow that. You want to get the reaction Roman Reigns was getting 4 years ago? All of a sudden.
You think they throw that man away like that?
All of a sudden, people are like, this fucking guy ain't ready. Boo! Like, damn, y'all just liked him. Like, you know, 2 weeks ago. But it's like, I don't buy this. I don't think the crowd. I could be wrong. 9 months from now, a year from now, headed into next year's WrestleMania, it could be. I don't think.
Roman might leave. He might vacate that home because he got somewhere to be. Yeah. Like,
that actually might be the best thing for whoever is the champion after him.
For real. Don't even get caught up in that wave. Like,
Win a fucking tournament after a month after he left and said, I'm going to make fucking Calvin and or Cisco and Hobbs fucking part three or whatever the damn movie's called.
Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Cisco. Who the fuck is Cisco?
Cisco and Hobbs. The long-awaited Flash fast crossover.
So,
because they both love speed. Oh my goodness.
So yeah, I leave that some bitch on him till he don't want it. Essentially, let him tell you when he wants to drop it or however, and then you work it out from there. Until then, just line people up and make them as credible as you can be, as they can be on a monthly, bi-monthly basis. Even if Bron Breakker a year from now has to be one of those guys and not the guy that, you know.
When Cody beats Roman at WrestleMania back.
I'll fuck yo.
Yo, like, can you, like, okay, the only reason it would be funny is because, you know, people who identify their personalities as AEW fan or WWE fan will have no idea how to react. You're going to get some of the fakest shit you've ever heard in your life. Oh, my God. I need it.
Real quick, I've got Sunday Night Heat on in the background from February 99, and they're doing the Gilbert segment. So I'm like, let me look in the face of each and every one of these security guys, because I bet you it's somebody, it's going to be like Randy Orton or somebody from OVW or something. Rob Conway is one of the security guys, out of the five or six security dudes that I recognize, or out of all of them, he's the one I recognize. So that's cool. Interesting. So, all right. Thanks, Colin, for the question. Let's, before we get out of here, let's see what Boris out in Chicago has to say. Boris, you're on live. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Long time no hear from.
Well, you know. You know how to
say it. Hey, man, you know.
Hey, y'all got the Russian out the way, so, you know, we got to do our little comic book segment because Spider-Man during a pandemic has topped Avatar for domestically. And,
you know, good for Spider-Man
and nostalgia
Tom Holland.
In comic books, but I don't know about wrestling. I don't want to see Goldberg. But did y'all see the trailer for Doctor Strange?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that.
Better rip.
I was.
But did y'all, hearing that voice and seeing that little silhouette roll up a little bit.
I know that's what got people hype about. But in the first trailer we got like 2 months ago, I was like, oh, we can't get America Chavez. We can't. She get the one bullshit little, we see her jacket. And that was it. We didn't really see her.
What are you talking about?
In this one, no. We did. They rectified that, and We got some action. We got her punching.
She was in the trailer at Spider-Man. They showed her a whole person.
Oh, well, I must have missed it. I saw her jacket with the star on it. And I was like, damn, that's it. But she got the full on, like, you know, got to see her. Got to see her little some action shots. Not punching holes in dimensions. You want to save that. You know, people don't necessarily know what – everybody don't know what she can do. They might not have the context for what she's doing. But, yeah, the whole thing was – yeah, having –
got
it
zombies.
Perfect. Having evil Strange
zombies.
Show up and hit his line. What if completely – like, all that, like, mattered and, like, was –
what a payoff.
Wasn't some throwaway like, oh, hey, let's make a cartoon for Disney Plus. It was worked into the plans. And as a fan, what else can you ask for? Like, I'm glad they took the care to, you know, book this shit out in advance and not flying by the seat of their pants like we're used to as wrestling fans.
For sure.
Illuminati. You get the Illuminati?
Right? Like, Rich was like, oh, maybe Illuminati. And I was like, whatever. I don't know enough about them. And then I saw a Facebook thing where I know enough about the Illuminati to know that, oh, shit, it's perfectly set up for them to show up. And Tom Cruise as Superior Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. With the no helmet. Because he said, if I'm going to play Iron Man, I don't want to wear a helmet. It's like, well, Iron Man wears the helmet, so sorry. But Superior Iron Man don't wear a helmet. Doesn't wear a helmet. So it's like, hey, Tom, remember you said you'd play Iron Man if you didn't have to wear a helmet? Yeah. So this, we're into speculation territory, but, you know, it seems like, you know, decent speculation. Go ahead.
So basically, they just opened up the multi-universe of every character we've seen.
Every Lou Ferrigno's Hulk, multiverse. Spider-Man and Friends from 1972, multiverse. that's basically what they've said and how they've set things up. Like, anything you've seen up until this point, you can write it off to, oh, it's the multiverse. And not in a way of hand-waving something so you can get away with something, but just kind of making 50 years of Marvel television and movies make sense and fit into what they're doing now. And it's fucking genius. What's his name? Iwakitu? The Watcher? What's his damn name?
The Watcher.
Get him in the Doctor Strange
movie. Absolutely.
We certainly had hints that Doctor Strange was talking to somebody on that level.
One more thing. Let's go one more time. Six Marvel shows is leaving Netflix on March 1st. So what's next for Daredevil?
Yeah.
Jessica Jones, yes.
I mean, we know what's next for Daredevil. We know Charlie, whatever, is in the universe, and why would he be there if he's not going to be Daredevil? Everybody else, like, I don't know, fucking Michael Colton's or whatever, he's going to show up and be Luke Cage, or what's-her-face is going to be Jessica Jones. I tell the company, I tell Disney to throw all the money at what's-her-face, because I don't see another Jessica Jones. You can't convince me anybody else is Jessica Jones for the next 10 years.
They got this.
If you don't get her,
you can't mess this up. They got this. They riding that coattail. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just blown away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was a little worried. Like, oh man, they're getting into characters that just are not mainstream characters. How is the audience and the you know, going to react to it? And they're doing it perfectly, integrating folks in, and it gives me hope for how they're going to bring in other people that I like. Like, okay,
Star
maybe
Wars,
America. Like, I have all the faith that America Chavez is going to be is going to be a shining point of the multiverse move of the Doctor Strange movie. Like, I have no reason to think, oh, they're going to do her dirty, or she's not going to get enough screen time, or she's her powers are going to be lame or anything. I'd like, I'm good. I had all the faith that they're going to treat her right and do arguably, you know, a top five character, favorite character of mine, well. So.
We there. Just need to see a little Ghost Rider and we're good. Because I really enjoy Agent Shield with the Dark Rider. I really enjoyed this, so I really hope we get that too.
See, now, yeah. Yeah, that's layers. layers. See, although Ghost Rider is way more mainstream than America Chavez ever could hope to be, at least before, you know, Doctor Strange 2 comes out. Way more people know who Ghost Rider is than America Chavez, I have to assume.
And Star Wars universe is getting there too.
All right, boys. So it's been nice talking to you this week. All right, go ahead. Talk about your Bobo Fets and shit.
Hey, I just want to hear you guys. What you guys think about it? I'm in. I don't want to hear people review it and talk about what they didn't like. I'm enjoying it because right now I don't have no Doctor Who and Star Trek that I like. So I gotta get it from my Star Wars people.
They better fuck with that Peacemaker. That's the shit.
No.
Cold.
I can't do him. I don't care. Okay.
Yo, Rick Showman. Yo, Rick
hates John Cena as a wrestler so much. Boy, you got
whatever. On VIP.
You are trash, boy.
Rich was like, "You got to watch the Peacemaker intro and get your reaction live." I was like, "Oh shit!" He was like, "I did the same to Wade, so now here I got to get you." And I'm like, "This," and then I see on the timeline, and people are so excited. This is one of the greatest intros of television history, and I'm just like, "What the fuck are y'all talking about? This shit is corny as fuck." And maybe that's the point. And like, it is like whatever. And like, this is supposed to get me excited about this fucking show?
That shit fire.
Wonder Twins movie or show or whatever. Then I'll finally get excited about something DC does that's not Flash or.
Black Adam.
See, the guy that wrote Black Adam or is doing Black Adam is doing the Wonder Twins, and it's going to be based off of the 2019 and 2020-21 run that is the latest Wonder Twins run, which was fucking fantastic. I never would have thought I would have been into anything Wonder Twins. They did an issue about the prison industrial complex. They'd be having you thinking, boy. Form of, would you say a map?
I said a map. I'm not watching that shit. Wonder Twins. Fuck out of here.
See, now you got my juices flowing.
I'm going to watch some Peacemaker, though.
Wow.
It's your finale tomorrow.
All right, Boris. Good talking to you, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, man.
All right. So we've got Dynamite starting in a minute. We'll be back, I think, March 9th. Greatest rapper of all time.
See you in
March 9th. I don't have the date in front of me exactly. Go to eastcoastcast.com. I keep the calendar updated there. But when the loop comes back, and I get my Wednesdays off. We'll be back. So sometime, I think, second week of March. Check us out then. Rich and I will be by for VIP tonight and every week. So even when we're not live, if you are a VIP member of the Pro Wrestling Torch, you can check us out every week. So I think we've hit all the major points. I don't think we left too much on the table. Any parting words? Anything for the folks before we? You know, you're not going to talk to this specific audience for another 3 weeks. So,
enjoy the show. You know, if you watch the show Saturday, let us know how that goes. I'm sure it'll be fresh on your minds in a couple of weeks. Pay attention to, again, with Cody not re-signing, pay attention because you might see more of that in the next couple of weeks. Not necessarily saying people jumping ship, but just kind of watch the ebbs and flows of that. I think they just signed the former Buddy Murphy, AEW, so just be on the lookout. It's going to be a lot of changes. We need to talk about your
man Jackson Riker. God damn, that was going to be...
He's an unbelievable racist. I think that got that out the way. But no, yeah, man, just keep your eyes open for what's going on. We'll be back here in a few weeks to let y'all know what we think of it.
So, for Cam, I'm Trav. We'll get at y'all in a little bit, a couple weeks. Talk to y'all then. We out. And I'm sort of a connoisseur of all things fresh, yes, the lord of this. Dope shit dropped on this, damn it, recording it. Stop, I get off my job. He ain't supporting this, subordinate. So you show caps and crazy ornaments. Decorate my chest, got stripes, night like Jordans. I walk on air to my throne, Patron and cognac. Flashing out my flag, two pass and hold that. See the medals on my vest, champion. Full metal chilling on my chest, nigga.